Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and before I introduce the boys, just a quick memo to Steve Hocking and all the AFL head honchos who want to change the rules of the game. Get stuffed, because if you watched the North Melbourne Sydney Swans game, it was an absolute cracker, and football is fine as it has been for the last 130 years. So get stuffed and leave it as it is, unless you tuned into Port Adelaide and Frio, but that game did not happen. We are talking our round 18 waiver wire pickups, trades, and top five things we noticed throughout the week. And to do that is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great now, Jono. But as you will have known, because we had a few beers on the weekend, Mrs. Fizz and Baby Fizz have been sick because I had a week off work, so naturally they get sick. And now, following the timeline of normal events, I'm about to be sick. So I've got that to look forward to in the next few days, which is disappointing because we've got the Dream Team Talk live show coming up on Thursday. So, you know, I might just be spraying my germs all over the theatre all over the pub in South Melbourne. That'll be fun.
That was actually one of the topics of discussions at the party last night. When pre-kids, never get sick. You're all fine. As soon as you have kids, every 45 minutes, you get some sort of illness.
I will say this is the anomaly, though, Jono, is I get tonsillitis every single year. But since baby Zoe, baby Fizz came along, I haven't had tonsillitis. But, you know, you just get sick. You just get colds and all that sort of nonsense. But I haven't had tonsillitis. And in fact, I was about to have my tonsils out and I pulled the pin. And so I've still got my tonsils and they haven't flared up. So weird one there. Just an outlier situation. But I look forward to the pending days of doom.
Yeah, as long as you're right to have a few furfs with the boys on Thursday night, looking forward to it. And the Statesman, he is still on suspension, going for that hashtag brand new Butte Ute. I don't know where he's actually ranked. I know he's on the Gold Coast just sunning himself up, but we have Mr. Cam McLaughlin to fill in. How are you going?
Yeah, good. So sorry about that, guys.
Was that the housekeeper?
That was Mrs. McLaughlin, and what I can only assume is my dog pissing somewhere on my bed. brilliant. And, you know, as far as Statesman being on the Gold Coast, that's probably the best place for a ute as well. They love their tradies up there. All brilliant. And to be honest, Thursday night going to be great night, guys. Good to catch up with you all, and hopefully everyone's going to be coming down to DT Talk Live.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Bit lost, but because I am very tired and slightly hungover after last night, Steve.
Well, I was telling Cam, I'm like, there's no chance he is in a good state.
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Wow, you're a machine, man. Because I left at like 10, and you were just getting to that level where I can tolerate you, and I'm like, this is a great time for me to leave.
Well, luckily the cameras were not on in my backyard, because it was 1:30 in the morning doing solo jello shots, almost falling into the fire, vomiting and crashing into the fence. So quite good times, but relatively good. Woke up, a couple of Powerades and some buffalo wings. Doing fine. But we are talking the top five things we noticed throughout the round. Steve, what did you notice, mate?
Play people against Carlton. That is a winning strategy. They've got nothing. They've packed it in. But the Matthew Cruiser thing is a bit distressing. I don't know, because we had the Marchbank the week before with the heart thing. We've got Cruiser this week with the heart thing. We've got Mark Murphy, who has a P heart. There's a lot of heart issues down at Carlton. But if he misses, it's going to be really interesting what they do, because Phillips is out for the year. So whether they want to run with, like, they were using, you know, Liam Jones and Charlie Curnow in there quite a lot. I can't think they want to use Charlie Curnow in the ruck in a season that doesn't matter. Could we see Matt Lobe?
Hey.
Or will they just bring in, bring back Levi? But yeah, Matt Lobe, who remembers him?
What's his ownership, minus 40%? I don't know.
Well, I think he owns him at this point, but it's going to be interesting. Hopefully, Cruz is fine, but we'll see what happens there. But probably a good time to use rucks against Carlton if Cruz starts missing. But GWS, we sort of spoke about their midfield mix quite a bit, and you know all the guys are in there now. But Josh Kelly's the guy who's really been pushed out onto a wing. He isn't getting the play through the middle. Like, he is getting some CBAs, but not what you may expect. Like, they're really happy with Ward, Coniglio, Scheel, and Hopper. Hopper's probably the third one in there, to be honest. And even Taranto. So, but they're the main four. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Brett Deledio when he comes back. Very interested what sort of role he's playing. But I can't imagine he's going to be scoring like he was earlier in the year. But yeah, just on Josh Kelly, I think, you know, he might struggle to put those big numbers up in a more contested game if he's relying on marks and goals to build his score. So it's going to be quite interesting. In the same game, Brown Ellis, he's actually been really good lately. I know a lot of people dropped him, people picked him up, people traded for him on the cheap. But he had a huge finish to last year as well, but he was running really hard. He looked good. And in a couple of weeks, they have Collingwood and Geelong back-to-back. Like, that could be... Like, defenders are scoring well against those teams. Like, that could be some really good scores for Brandon Ellis in an otherwise very fantasy-unfriendly team. Collingwood, spoke about it a few weeks ago. I tried shipping this particular player out, but when Treloar went down, the attention went to Sidebottom. He is their creator through the midfield. He's the guy you can get. And I'm, you know, a lot of trade deadlines apart. Johnny, our trade deadline passed. I tried shipping him, but couldn't get the deal done. But it's a bit of a worry. The only saving grace, I will say, is there's really only Sydney on Collingwood's docket. I know they have North Melbourne next week. But Jacobs has kind of been in and out and the concussion issues. But Sydney on the docket, who really always tags. So just as a side bottom owner, I'd be prepared for maybe a poor score.
How'd you feel about rolling him as captain in our home league this week?
Got the win.
Got the win. All right.
That's all that matters. What can you do? Like, you know, this hasn't been a good run for me. The captain's in our home league, to be honest. I had Wines the week before. He got tagged into dust. So I don't know what's going on with my captain choices. Stoddy, usually money at the G. But a person who wasn't money as well. Sometimes we look at matchups and go, this is gravy. This is easy street, boys. Let's crack the knuckles, set our lineup. Donuts Motlop, it's going to be an outside game. He's going to be backing up that ton with another ton. And then the gods say, look, you can't be so obnoxious as to think you can roll out Donuts Motlop week on end and get tons. Guys, pull it back a little bit. And the weather gods have just pulled the rain out and washed Donuts Motlop's scores away. And Michael Walters, for that matter, as well. But sometimes, you know, that happens. That happens. What can you say? You know, you make your selections a week in advance on the matchups, and then Mother Nature says no.
But some money to be made with the Freo at the line at plus 32.5 today. Mm-mm.
Why don't you take them straight up, you wimp?
465. I didn't think I got a win. Not that good.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there was... God damn, what about the carnage this week?
Massive carnage. But some of the things I've noticed going back to the Thursday night game with the Cats and Adelaide, Gary Ablett, they left that man alone just to do whatever the hell they liked. They were there at clearances and centre bounces and even throw-ins. He did not have an opponent and actually made him pay. He had the 30-odd touches, tonned up in both formats. So just wondering, I'm going to keep an eye on that. It's the first time I noticed that. So if teams will match up on him and let him do what he likes. Source Jacobs got out-rucked by Reece Stanley. He is having a bit of a stinker of a year, Sam Jacobs. I would have thought he would have absolutely destroyed him, but who knew Reece Stanley could actually be a ruckman?
Reece Stanley is like what we wanted Rory Lobb to be.
Yeah, and Zach Smith.
Well, but he's got the forward status like Lobb. That's sort of what I mean. Yeah.
So Rory Lobb lift your game, please. Rory Sloane, he's got the new contract swag, got the 5-year deal as a 29-year-old. Had his second game back from that foot injury, didn't miss a beat. He was really good on Thursday night as well. Clayton Oliver, he's not really being talked about and having a really good third year. He's career best form, averaging around the 30 disposals, but the knock on him that he was more handball to kick ratio, he's actually dropped down in two handballs a game and now kicking the ball to getting two extra kicks a game. So that's really helping his fantasy scores this year, turning up in both formats, averaging that over the year. So really loving Clayton Oliver, and you'd be enjoying the scores if you are a Clayton Oliver owner. And don't tag Tom Mitchell at your own peril, because if you don't, he's going to rack up another 40-odd possessions. What was he, 90 at halftime on the weekend, and went on to 150s as well. Didn't cap him in any format that I did play him, so very happy about that. But Big Maxi made up for that. But they're the things I noticed for this week. What have you got, Cam?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I might just start with something hot off the press. The AFL Fantasy position players have just launched.
Oh, no.
And you'll just see Patrick Dangerfield at a nice forward status, being the only relevant person, I think, across the board. Ryan Griffin also forward.
Boy, oh boy.
So that's going to make things interesting going into the run home. But the things I've noticed, first thing is Sean Darcy. If you don't have him in your keepers, get him while he's hot. I think he's a ripper of a player. I don't 20 years of age. And, you know, for those who lost Nick Nat this week, could be a valuable replacement running into finals. Top the ton in AF, so good one out there.
Did he get injured in the last quarter there,
so he
Sean
did,
Darcy?
But Freo haven't reported the injury, so I think it's something quite minor. I think he'll probably play next week. The second thing I've noticed, the Bombers, they're halfway through their two-week bye. So they played the Gold Coast this week, and they've got Freo next week. And they just put up a massive show, as expected. They scored 18.1832 fantasy points total, including 10 players over 90, and that was the biggest fantasy score by a team this round. Zach Merritt was the biggest of the lot with 138, and there were concerns, I guess, you know, maybe 5 rounds ago, that Zach Merritt was putting together a pretty average season. His average was somewhere floating around 93 or 94, and everyone was expecting him to sort of go around the 110, 115, 120 mark this year. Over the last 5, he's boosted his average to, last 5 is 119, and his last 3 is 122, making him one of the form players of the comp. So with Freo coming up next week, you know, load up again on the Dons. Even though the Freo just got over Port, I still expect them to be a bit of a walkover next week against the Bombers. The third thing is the Weagles tripod. It really does hold them up. So Lacroix, Darling, and Josh Kennedy, you know, between the 3 of them, they slotted 8 goals, which accounted for over half the Eagles' score this week, and the Eagles obviously got up over the Pies. So it really makes a difference. I reported last couple of weeks that, you know, without the 3, they really had no chance, and then this week they come back and they just made a huge difference. Now, the fourth thing is Colin O'Riordan, and I'm 100% probably butchered that, but...
O'Riordan, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, O'Riordan.
No. No, you go with the O'Riordan.
O'Riordan.
It's like Ciara and Byrne. You stay with that.
or Siobhan, anyone. Cioban. Love it.
Yeah.
So it'd be a shame not to give him a bit of a rap. He came to the Swan side after a bunch of solid outings in the NEFL. At the expense of Mr. McVay, he came in and, you know, he was pretty good. He scored 84 from 71% game time at 81% efficiency. And with the Swans getting the win and McVay still being out, I think he'll probably hold his spot. So he's probably one for your keepers, maybe. And then also for, if you are really desperate looking for a D5 and you run into the finals, he can probably pop 80 a week in that role. And finally, the fire truck is back in the station. It's really hard to log anything for the Suns in the first team, so I've gone back to the NEFL. And the fire truck is back. Braden Fiorini returned in the NEFL this week and clocked up 168 fantasy points. And he didn't entirely junk his way there either. It wasn't just marks and kicks. It was 36 disposals, 8 marks, 11 tackles, and 2 goals. Brilliant. So he'll come back into the side next week, I think. Probably alongside one Mr. Barlow. Mr. Barlow okay. clocked up a lazy 100 touches or something similar as well.
And KK did just, pretty well as well.
It's the NEFL. Everyone does well. Just on the West Coast game, watching that, do you think that says more about their forward line or the Collingwood back line? Because I was watching that game and like Jeremy Howe scored well, but he got owned, man. They were just too tall.
Yeah.
They just sat it on their head and Collingwood were just midgets back there.
So I look at this whole game and see Collingwood's midfield scoring terribly as far as fantasy goes. And that tells me that they're not getting as much ball, they're not moving as fluently, and therefore the West Coast midfield is probably on top and delivering that ball in more than normal. So I think it was probably a combination of the Pies mid getting shut down, and the Pies' defence not being able to stand up to those three.
Well, they just played keepings off in that. Like, the Pies' mids were on top in the first half,
yeah.
But West Coast could just sit it on someone's head and it would be a mark or a free kick.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, it was just keepings off, so...
Yeah.
I don't know, it was just interesting.
It's,
If they came up against Essendon's back line...
Yeah, no, it's 100% true. I don't know. I think give them a couple of weeks and see if they gel and keep on putting up big scores. But they were able to do it earlier in the year, and I think they might be able to continue.
Yeah, no, another cracking game on the weekend as well. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and STPorter15. We've got the website, draftdoctors.com.au, and search us on the Facebook as well. And we're going to move on to the waivers now. And when we do talk about the waivers, we use Ultimate Footy's 75% ownership rule just to give everyone a bit of an opportunity to grab those players out of the pool, because it is starting to get pretty bare heading towards the finals, or if you are playing finals. And I'm going to kick it off this week with Darcy Parrish. I did name him in the late week pickups, and he did not disappoint. 73% ownership still. He got you the 84 Dream Team and 115 Supercoach from just 77% time on ground. So we know it's his first game back from an injury. He did play the VFL the week before, so they're probably looking to build him, build time for him as well. And he wasn't playing the Jake Stringer role. I thought we'd be in the forward line. He was actually on the ball and on the wing. So grabbed Darcy Parrish there. Barry from the Brisbane Lions in 64% of teams. He's been putting together a few good weeks, the last couple of weeks. The Lions are playing a really good fantasy brand of football. They move the ball and move the ball quickly, but they also play that kick mark brand as well. Ben Ronk, he's in 61% of teams, and they're playing the Gold Coast this week. So it's going to be happy days for the Sydney Swans. If he can snag 5 goals against North Melbourne, he should be on track for about 20 this week. Paul Ahern, still in 66% of teams. He's really firing well for the North Melbourne since he's come back in there. He's the mid-forward. He's playing really good footy in support to Cunnington and Higgins there in the midfield. And Goldie seems to be in a bit of form as well, so getting plenty of hit-outs to advantage as well. Now, we do use a 75% of ownership, but we were just talking.
Oh, no.
Hey, we were just talking about him. Fiorini. He's in 77% of leagues, so grab him.
That's good.
Yeah, so just slightly over, but one to grab. That was just a late inclusion, that one. And North Melbourne, they are playing Collingwood this week, and we did see that the defenders did give up the point. So you've got Scotty Thompson at 56% ownership. Robbie Tarrant, 53% ownership. He did have that corky, so he may not play. And Jamie McMillan at 70% as well. So three defenders there for North Melbourne you can look at. But they're the guys I'm looking at this week.
Love it, Jono. Just on Darcy Parrish, 5 centre clearances. 5 centre clearances. That's insane. That's huge. So certainly with you, I picked I've grabbed him in a home league. But that's something we haven't seen from him before.
Yeah, that's right. And this is the breakout year that we're all expecting. So when Stringer was there, he wasn't probably getting that midfield time. But now, 5 centre clearances, love it.
That is huge. But yeah, I'm just going to be real simple on this. Sydney are playing Gold Coast. Pick up Sydney. Essendon are playing Freo. Pick up Essendon. And Hawthorn are playing Carlton. Pick up Hawthorn. I don't know what the ownership is. I think the members own the club or something. Like, I don't know. But yeah, just grab those.
Just drop the whole roster and grab everything Hawthorn.
Well, the thing is, like, at this time of the year, it's really hard to be, you know, like you said, Fiorini will be in some, like, a lot of that will be keepers. Like, he'll be owned in every keeper league. And
yeah,
all that
that's
sort of
right.
Thing. So, you know, in some leagues, there'll be players owned in some leagues that aren't owned in others. Like, Hewitt will be owned in most leagues, but not in others.
Papley, so.
Papley's great. Yeah. Blake Hardwick, Kyle Langford will be owned in some leagues, but not in others. Yeah, so all those sort of guys. I'd be absolutely jumping on those three teams, though. Like, I'd just be using, I'd be looking to match up against Gold Coast, Freo, and Carlton just from here on out. I thought it was really telling the fact that Gold Coast didn't even bother to tag Zach Merritt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we'll just drop. We could win this match, so we better not play our usual game. Like, it was just strange.
What have you got there, Cam?
Oh, look, I kind of echo Fizz's comments, and I'll give you one specific. David Myers, 55%, scored 100 yesterday against the Gold Coast. They got Freo next week. I think he's going to go, you know, probably around the 90 to 100 again. But realistically, if you're looking for, if you've got a floating forward eight or forward five rather, but I do. I basically pick up an FA every single week just to get the right matchup. And if you've got that sort of flexibility in the next couple of rounds, make sure you get those matchups because you'll always hit your 80.
Yeah, absolutely. I did that tactic a couple of years ago, just have that floating last forward and seemed to work pretty well. But guys, we've got another review this week from... HK27DOS, he says, the headline is...
Yeah, I wonder who that is.
Just a random bloke on social media.
Yeah.
He says, the headline is, Wash Your Hands. The best draft pod going around, excellent knowledge with superb conversational bants and some serious disregard for personal hygiene. So... Thank you very much, HK27DOS. And if you do want to leave us a review, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. It only takes you a couple of minutes. We love reading them out on the show. And hit that 5-star rating as well, like our friend HK27DOS did as well. Moving on now, Steve. We're coming towards the end of the year, so a lot of leagues have trade deadlines, but you can still add drop players and hold them. So who are you looking at this week?
Well, yeah, just on the, you know, we know a lot of leagues start their finals in round 21. Maybe they haven't passed their deadline. And I will just say with the dozen deals this week, really excited. Sam, who writes the DPPs article, is taking over until the end of the year from me. So I'm really excited to see what he brings to the table. But the DPP article has just been hot fire. But obviously there isn't any more.
No, so, especially with Dangerfield going forward. That's just ridiculous.
Oh, that is just ridiculous. So, yeah, I think a pretty handy trade-in. This guy didn't score too well this week, who I would have expected to, but it's Isaac Smith. He's not one of the A-grade players, but he is someone who can fill out your M6, M7, maybe even M5, whatever you need. But he's certainly a good midfield depth. But he's got Carlton, Fremantle, Essendon, Geelong, and St Kilda on deck. I think he should score pretty well in most of those matchups. Even Geelong, he scored very well against earlier in the year. So he's certainly got some very handy matchups, and he's, you know, having a really good season, to be honest. And a guy I'm going to sell might be a bit of a shock, but I actually think Scott Lysette is a great sell. I'm saying trap people, man. If you've got Scott Lysette on the bench and, like, Nick Nat's gone down, we've seen Ryder go down, like, they're going to be thinking, oh, you know, Lysette going into Sol Ruck, he's going to light it up. I think... Listen to these matchups. He's got Bulldogs on deck, which is, you know, very good. But after that, it's North Melbourne, Fremantle, Port Adelaide, which might be good now, but Maxi gone and Steph Martin. Like, those are horrible matchups.
Yeesh.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he shouldn't be turning up in, I'd say, most of those matches. So I think it could be a real good trap. Like, you could fill out, if you've got Scott Lysette on the bench, you could trap someone and bolster your on-field lineup. So I think it's a really savvy move. And what do you think? Like, this, I'm just spitballing here. Yeah, sorry, Johnny.
Just on that Lysette one, we saw a couple of weeks ago, they played Vardy, Lysette, and Nick Nat all in the same team. So they might even bring Vardy in to be that number one ruckman and Lysette as another tall. I know they've got Darling and Kennedy there, but it's not out of the realms of impossibility.
Well, I guess it's not. That's a good point. But also, just a spitballing one, this player has West Coast in round 18, so Mark Hutchings. St Kilda in round 20, Jack Steele. North Melbourne in round 21, potentially Ben Jacobs. And Carlton, potentially Ed Kerner in round 22. Would you trade for a King's ransom Jack McRae?
Well, they tried to tag him on the weekend. That didn't work too good after halftime.
What do you mean? They shut him down after halftime.
I don't know. I was busy.
He did all his scoring in the first half.
I only watched the first half because I was prepping for the party, so.
Yeah, the tag went in the second half, and it certainly slowed him down. So, I don't know. Just a spitballing thought.
Well, you've only got
a monster deal.
One quality midfielder in that whole Bulldogs team at the moment. Bont was out.
Just a shower thought. Hunter's having a great season, man. We said to pick him up a couple of weeks ago. He's killed it since then.
Dick.
Oh, well.
Good old Lockie Hunter, the burn man. There is no Statesman Skippers article this week. Obviously, he is still on suspension, but we do have Cam McLaughlin with the injury report and a couple of notable injuries this week.
Yeah, that's right. And I just want to, this is hot off the press as well. My Duna cover, injured. Completely pissed all over by my puppy. Fantastic. So that's going to be a cold night in Paran for me tonight.
You didn't know this. This is a pro cat podcast, so I think
pro cat podcast.
This is karma.
Yeah. We're all this cat people. Karma. We're cats.
We're cat people.
Don't they just piss wherever they want?
No, they have a litter tray.
Yeah, my
they
dog go, does.
They're trained to.
Your dog has a litter tray, so
obviously,
you've completely emasculated your dog.
No, my dog piss. He goes wherever he wants. He's a spoiled little. Anyway, good little lad he is. So we'll kick things off with Nick Nat, considering he's probably the biggest of the week. There were a couple of big ones, but he's gone down with his good knee, not the reconstructed knee. And that's bad, bad news. Adam Simpson is thinking season and potentially reconstruction. So we'll wait for scans earlier in the week, but I would not be holding my breath if I was a Nick Nat owner. Probably look to move him to your bench and then maybe use an early waiver pick on Tuesday. Josh Kennedy, he retired hurt today with a lower back injury. If you watch the footage, he kind of looks like he it's like a twinge in his back. He goes for a bit of a tackle, and I reckon it's probably just a spasm in his lower back. It's one of those things, though, that can have lingering effects for the next couple of weeks, so keep an eye on him. If he misses this week, I'd expect that to roll into two.
Jack Vine. I'm going to call sciatica on that one. That looked like sciatica.
So it was very sciatica.
Yeah.
It's
as
not a common
sufferer of sciatica, it's a pain in the ass. It can take 2 years to recover from, so he's
jeez.
Tough.
Yeah, yep. Right. Yeah, hang up the boots.
Yep.
Speaking of hanging up the boots, Jack Viney.
Yeah,
so he's just like Harry Taylor. Him and Harry Taylor this year have had a battle for the foot injury, and he's just basically struggled to... he's struggled with this recurring foot injury. He's basically had a toe flare-up. It did not damage the bone at this stage, which means that, you know, they've caught it early. Very good news. But he'll probably keep his feet up for the next, you know, 1 to 2 weeks. If we're lucky, he'll come back just for fantasy finals. And he was just firing up as well, so hopefully we can get him back. Next one is Matty Cruiser. So I know Stevie Fizz talked about this a little bit earlier. But I think there's something a little bit more going on at Carlton. And it's pretty rare that you have two players in 2 weeks go down with shortness of the breath and, you know, a quick ticker. I'm wondering if there's a sports science reason for these elevated heart rates, and I'm sure that's probably going to be investigated and come out in the wash. Probably wait on Matty Cruiser for the next couple of weeks just to see how he pulls up. And look, the last one that I've got is the Bont. So he had his appendix out this week. It was due to miss probably 2 to 3. Bevo's come out this week and said he'll miss one more, and then he should be back the week after.
Eddie Betts only missed 1 week. Come on, Bont, lift your game. I'm talking as a Bont owner, so.
I'm just on the phone with our lawyers after the sports science claims.
Well, no. That's okay. It's the old Carlton crew coming back from the dead and, you know, sniff, sniff, and hook his ass and away you go.
I don't know. This seems very...
You've never seen the underbelly and the Carlton
crew. No, I don't watch underbelly. I don't watch TV.
I used to hang around the Carlton footy club and organise crime. That's how they do it.
Well, it was crime what Carlton have done to Friday nights. Oh, topical. There you go.
That's
terrible. That's like my worst joke of the year. It's been a long year.
I can't believe it's almost over. In terms of fantasy. All right, I think that just about wraps it up. I am extremely tired and hungover, so I do not know how much longer I can do this, but... Cam, I must say, that T-shirt is on point. It's got the Homer Simpson going back into the hedge T-shirt. Love it for the listeners there. Obviously, cannot see this, but Thursday night, if you're out and about, head down to the Bells Hotel. Dream Team Talk Live boys are going to have their Melbourne show. Richo Man's going to be there. Brody Grundy. Nick Maxwell and a couple of the other Collingwood boys are going to be there to have a few beers and a bit of a chat about their fantasy draft league as well. Really looking forward to it. So $20 and a stubby holder. It's a better night than going to St Kilda and Carlton. So looking forward to that. And that wraps it up. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter. We're at the Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. At the Potato Bake and ST Porter 15. Search the Draft Doctors on Facebook and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.